Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got a new friend this half hour, ladies and gentlemen. David Rock is joining us right now. David is a new friend and a soon-to-be old friend. We're going to get him back. He's got a lot to teach us, but we want to get him started today. Let me tell you who he is. David is a leadership coach, and he advises companies like yours and mine, all the way up to the big companies all around the world, on how to get the most out of themselves and out of their people. He's the author of a number of books, including Coaching with the Brain and Mind, which you may have seen, also Quiet Leadership, also Personal Best. His company is Results Coaching Systems, and his new book is called Your Brain at Work, and he's our new friend, David Rock. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you here. Great to have you here. Thank you for spending some time with us, and congratulations on your new book.
Oh, thanks so much. It's sort of felt like having five babies. It took 5 years, you know. I've had two real babies, but this one just kept going and going. So
I see. Well, you know, David, I've gotten into your book a little bit, and I really like the things that you say in here. I think it really speaks to what's happening right now. One of the things that I've been saying for a long time, David, and talking to my audience about, is that I've said that you know, change is not really all that different over the millennia. A computer is just a fancy wheel, if you think about it. But
yeah,
what has changed is the velocity of change. That's the thing that's really, I think, is really putting so much pressure on us and making us all a little crazy right now. It's not the change, it's the velocity of change. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a period of time in the Middle Ages where the way they made a plow, you know, to dig the ground didn't change
right
for 300 years.
Right.
Can you imagine that?
Well, and I remember, you know, when I came up in the marketplace in the 70s and 80s, David, you could create a product or a strategy, and it would last at least 12 months. Now, you know, it might last 90 days.
I know, it's incredible. Imagine just 10 years of the same software product. It would
right.
It would send people crazy. Probably
right.
Make them happy, actually. But
so we've got all this, but on top of that, we've got all this access to information, all these different ways, and we keep creating new ways to do this, and so we're literally being bombarded, aren't we, as human beings?
Absolutely. And one of the challenges is that the brain has all these reward and threat functions that we don't normally talk about. You know, we know that we get really anxious if we get hungry. That's a threat response. It's a,
right.
it's a response to, you know, potential death. And it's a good response. You know, it's good to pay attention if you're hungry and go and find some food. We have another threat response, which just comes from sensing uncertainty. When you feel like uncertain about something, you get a little threat. And then when you become certain, like we suddenly understand something, you get a little reward and you feel much better, like eating. And unfortunately, what change does, of course, is create enormous uncertainty. You know, it's like the uncertainty of my accent. Where the heck is this guy from? You know, well, I can speak American if you'd like, but I'm originally Australian and living between both countries. Until you sort of work that out, you feel a little bit like, what's going on? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And you get it and you feel better. So it's uncertainty is one of the drivers of kind of the threat involved in change and also too much information.
One of the things that you talk about and that you actually lead with in your book is a discussion of how all of the things that we've been talking about impact the prefrontal cortex, which is the most recently developed part of the human brain in terms of the evolution of our brain, and also it's the thing that makes us unique from other animals, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're just not built to use our prefrontal cortex anywhere near as much as we are trying to at the moment. You know, normally the way that our brain is built is to be mostly kind of automatic, to be doing most things without thinking all day long, and then once in a while to kind of, you know, make a fresh decision, kind of check on your thinking, maybe do a little planning ahead, but, you know, really a fraction of your time. And yet way work is going is anything that is kind of repetitive that you can do without thinking, where's that going? That's going to, you know, India or mm-hmm. your computer or mm-hmm. you know, somewhere else. So we're left with the thinking work. And I can tell you, we all only have a few hours of really quality thinking time a day. And no one's respecting that. Everyone thinks you can think all day, you know. But really, it's a couple of hours of good thinking time. And if you blow that thinking power on a couple hundred emails in the morning, you've got none left for the projects you want to do, for
right.
the real work.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I know myself, and I hadn't thought about it until, you know, with all the things that we've talked about the brain on the show before, reading your book made me realize what I was doing. There'll be times during the day when somebody will bring me something else, and I've got my own projects I'm working on, and then somebody drops another project into my life,
yes.
and I actually will say to my folks, look, I'm not going to add anything new right now. You know, wait an hour, come back in an hour, because I've got all that I can deal with right now in a quality way.
I'll give you a metaphor, Jim. It's really pretty accurate, and it's digestion. It's eating. You know, you can't digest a week's worth of food
right.
in a day, right? You just can't. Doesn't matter how much you
and
want
we're not
to.
Like we're not like a an anaconda, you know, or a boa.
Right.
We don't.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Let's get our eating. You know, let's get our eat everything in a day. And it doesn't work like that. You've got to take time to digest ideas and information, and there's a rhythm to that. You digest it, you know, then you take a rest, and then you can digest something new. You know, then you take a rest, then you can just. It's very much like that with the brain, with deeper thinking.
Well,
and so much of the work is deeper thinking now.
Another thing that you say, and I think this is important for us to say, and I want you to mention it. I want you to talk about it when I mention it, and that is, you say that as great and as important and as unique and powerful as the prefrontal cortex is, it does have limitations, and I think
that's
something we should realize.
You know, there's so much writing about, you know, the brain's incredible complexity, and it's true. It is the most complex thing in the known universe, and everyone thinks, oh, I'm only using 10% of my brain, and it's really not true. It certainly is the most complex thing, but you're using a huge amount of it, and every time you think a single thought, it's lighting up, you know, your whole brain and
right.
all of it. What happens is when it comes to conscious thinking, the difference between conscious and unconscious, you know, you can do things without thinking all day, like driving. You know,
right.
you can drive, you can...
Right.
Stuff that doesn't require conscious attention all day. When you have
hold,
to think.
Hold on that thought, David. I'm going to let you finish that when we come back after these messages. We're going to take a quick one, folks. It's 20 after. You know how this works. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be back on the other side of these messages. David Rock is our guest. His book is called Your Brain at Work. Stay with us.
Mercy, 'cause this land's the place I love. I'm here.
Little Stones, a little bit of the Stones bringing us back. That great garage band that continues to be successful because they stick to their knitting. They know what they do well and they keep doing it. And they've made adjustments along the way, as we all have to. But they've stuck to their knitting and done what they do well. And that's a good lesson for all of us, folks. I'm Jim Blassingame, 23 after. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. We've got lots of good stuff there. You can listen, you can read, you can ask questions, check out my blog. Subscribe to my newsletter. Don't forget to do that. That's free. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email. And if you're on the social media sites, I'm there too. On Twitter, you can follow me at Jim Blassingame. David Rock is our guest, folks, and his new book is called Your Brain at Work, Strategies for Overcoming Distraction, Regaining Focus and Working Smarter All Day. Boy, howdy, could I use some of that. David, give us your website. Tell us how we can find you and how we can find your new book.
Well, my new book is Your Brain at Work, and there's a website about the book, which is yourbrainatwork.com, but with dashes between each word. And
okay.
My own work, you can see a couple of websites. There's resultscoaches.com, and resultscoaches.com is a great site for learning about brain-based coaching and finding a coach and getting trained in coaching. Then I've got a scientific side. I'm co-founder of an institute as well, and that's neuroleadership.org. Neuroleadership.org for
and you've got a and you're about to wrap up your PhD, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah, it's a doctorate, it's a professional doctorate in the neuroscience of leadership, and I'm looking forward to being Dr. Rock, and I'd like to see what theme music you bring
exactly.
in with for that.
When you come back, yeah, we'll have something, we'll bring something from the World Wrestling Federation or something, we'll get some kind of music there. Hey, David, what school is your degree going to be coming from?
It's from the UK, it's from Middlesex University, it's a real university, mm-hmm. not Page Mill, but it's... from the School of Workplace Learning. So
yeah,
it's good for you.
Yeah. Congratulations. Okay, in your book, one of the things you talk about is that you actually quote a researcher, Arnston, I think is how you pronounce it.
Amy Arnston.
She says that the prefrontal cortex, which is what we've been talking about, folks, is like the Goldilocks of the brain.
Yes.
Of the brain. It has to have everything just right or it doesn't function well. Talk to us about that, David.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's a wonderful quote. It really captures the concept. And, you know, Amy is the really one of the world's prime researchers in prefrontal functioning. And she taught me this. She was one of 30 scientists that I interviewed quite deeply for the book. And what she explains is that you have to have just the right levels of two neurochemistries that relate to two everyday experiences. One is dopamine, which relates very much to being interested in something,
mm-hmm.
okay, and novelty also relates to having goals, something important. So you've got to have just the right levels of dopamine. You also have to have just the right levels of norepinephrine or brain adrenaline, okay, and that's very much related to alertness. So if you'd caught me an hour ago, I wouldn't have had much norepinephrine in me, and I wouldn't have been alert enough to speak, even though I was interested, and you know, wouldn't have worked well. If you'd caught me, you know, if I had one too many cup of coffee, I might have too much. What happens in the day is we sort of go from not enough of these two chemistries to sort of hitting our peak pretty early, and then we often go past that peak, and our brain starts to kind of not work well, or as Amy says, the circuits don't hold together. They start falling apart if we have too much of these things. And you'll experience that if you're, like, too interested in something, it's, you know, too exciting, or if you're too alert, which means too anxious, too focused on something, you'll have too much adrenaline and the circuits won't work. And so there's this peak at which you can think just, you know, really well that lasts for a short time. And it tends to be a few hours of the day. And the question becomes, what are you going to use that peak for each day? And then, you know, over the week and over the month, what will you have used?
And so, folks, the main reason I wanted David to talk about this is because you need to understand that your brain is like your body. I mean, it functions. It has to be nourished. It has to have rest. It can get overloaded. You can overpower your brain with stimulus, with things coming into it and demands on it. And so you've got to find out. You have to understand this not only for yourself but also for your employees. You know, this is, you know, one of the things that I try to talk about, David, is making sure that as we run and grow our businesses that we do that successfully without creating a casualty list. And,
yeah.
and we can do this with our employees. We can create casualty lists inside their brain. And I've done this before because I've not realized I was over, you know, putting too much on an employee or whatever. And I didn't realize it. And they just kind of, you know, they would shut down.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's pretty easy to shut down. I think, you know, partly it's about choosing the right time for the right work, and it's also finding out how much each person can actually process, because we do have pretty big individual difference, especially when it comes to kind of how much stress we can handle.
Everybody's a little different, but here's a question before we go. Do we need to find out when is the best time for us to push our brain? I mean, there are times. Is everybody different? Somebody is better in the morning. Somebody else is better in the afternoon.
Most people, you know, in the majority of people, it's the morning. And if it's the evening, it's after they've had a rest. And the rest is the key issue. It's after your brain's had a rest is when you tend to be able to really do.
So usually your highest functioning time is usually in before lunch, I guess, maybe we should.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we all know, and we all know that. Certainly some people will say, no, I can't think until the night. And,
yeah.
You know, they've had a mental rest and then they can start. So that's usually
David,
the way.
I've got to wrap it up. Will you come back another day and talk to us some more about this?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot more to say. It's the most complex thing in the universe. So
you've got a lot to teach us, and we'll get you back again real soon. Thank you for a good job today, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
David Rock, ladies and gentlemen. Next time it'll be Dr. David Rock, and his book is called Your Brain at Work. Quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.